Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we talk about the issues and how they affect human life here and look at the possible solutions here. We welcome all our listening audience to this Thursday morning program here, Critical Issues. I am your co-host, Henry Hasib, and we have with us Dr. Jamal Rashid here. And today, we're going to be talking about the subject. The topic will be severe consequences are inedible, certain when essential emotional needs are not properly met. When the essential emotional needs are not properly met. And today, you know, we live in a society here where that seems to be a major problem in providing the proper emotional needs that the human being needs to be a proper human being. But this time we're going to turn it over to Dr. Jamal Rashid. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal Rashid.
Oh, wa alaikum assalam, Brother Henry. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I shall do and by Allah, Allah, what do that, Sharika, Well, actually, I do any Muhammadan after whoever civil Brothers and sisters in the American Muslim 360 block radio listening audience, we greet you with the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum. You know, you highlighted essential needs, meaning, you know, by definition, you know, every single word, when we understand how words make people, every single word starts off by a definition. What is meant by a word, a subject matter, a narrative, a description, or prescription? Every single moment of each second, we go through this process of defining a word, plural words, in order to go to the next location, which is given a directive or instruction of that definition. To follow up by this process, then or arriving at a logical conclusion. And so, you know, Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh introduced us to this universal language of indirection, or I'm sorry, indefinition leads to a instruction or direction that leads us to accumulating a logical conclusion. And so it is important to understand these universal concepts that was diligently taught to us by our leader and teacher. That's why we describe Imam Muhammad as our leader and teacher, because he patiently taught woke people, meaning people who were conscious of our magnificent creation and our specific role of being within this magnificent creation. And that is, it gave us our strength as human beings, which is to be a resident of decency and righteousness. That's the strength of all human beings, is to be committed to stay within this habitat of decency and righteousness. And as long as we stay within these narratives as described, then we are in heaven. Or you may say a peace of mind. Literally, we are okay. There should be committed to such a beautiful environment. And so this year, it gives us a magnificent understanding of our existence, of why we're here on this earth, the role that we play, or that we have, say, been blessed to be within, and we should be actively engaged in trying to be as obedient to these formats as humanly possible. That in itself is an education that far and goes far beyond academics. That's why we emphasize that education is more and goes far beyond academics. Because this here, what we have just described, is universally impacted. The confines of what we just detailed is universal. It fits the criteria, if you will, of all barriers that in many cases hold people back. And so again, that is a enormous blessing to be within this organized, systematic system of our existence, regardless of our religious beliefs, our nationality, our ethnicity, our gender, our social and economic status, and et cetera, gives us enormous advantage, if you will, that's morally inclined without any prejudice or preconceived notions of what some may call a false identity. So one of the components that we have covered for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we will continue, and that is to emphasize the importance of our emotional needs that all human beings fit into or fall under or are compelled mandatorily to be a subject within this institution that we call education beyond academics. And so the component that we are specifically referring to is emotional intelligence, a language that many people are unfamiliar with, but is very essential to comprehend such mastery of this language, if you will, just like academic intelligence is mandatorily required in order to qualify to meet certain standards of expectations. And all this falls under, if you want to go to an academic subject, it falls under what you may term sociology. The social intelligence is what we are specifically highlighting. It fits into social intelligence. And so those of you who are still following us, then you see why this is vitally important to recognize our human location in order for us to grow and produce as we should do in our human abilities to grow and develop. So, in understanding such mastery, we're in good shape to excel. Excelling means without prejudice. That many times become political. And political, we're referring to what's in it for me. Immediate self-gratification becomes a part of its content. It's to be politically inclined, if you will, or politically astute. Within the confines of what we normally think of as political intelligence. So this is our, what we term our present day location of where we should be. In this day of struggle and turmoil, and those of us who have succeeded in these testing times can truly say we are fortunately blessed to not be hampered by the traps, if you will, is that many times it's like a spider's web. One does not realize the enslavement of being politically enslaved by our own decision making. So that's our topic. Is to be able to comprehend the consequences that goes along with being politically enslaved. And so it is important that we know this information or this curriculum, just like we know our academic ABCs. You know, we know A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z, A to Z. How essential that is to start a learning process. It's foundational in its processes. Well, emotional intelligence is one of those components that it is essential to master in order to excel other aspects of what we call holistic freedom, if you will. Free to excel without being entangled or enslaved through our own emotional defects. In fact, to make a long story short, we can define our own gene. The nature of the human being is confronted by our own emotional defects that should be highlighted. Is that one of the impeding obstacles that causes mass self-destruction is human beings' inability to master our emotions. For understanding that everything in creation is dualistic, that's another foundational asset to have, is to understand that every creation is dualistic by nature, meaning that in this instance, our emotions can be either positive or it can be, in contrast, negative. For example, our emotions can be our best friend, or again, in contrast, it can be become our worst enemy. This is very simple ideology or content or curriculum that allows a human to excel versus being in jail. That's the kind of rhyme came to my mind. Is that to have true freedom is to avoid emotional handicaps that we're describing when we allow our emotions to be our worst enemy versus being our best friend. And we can go into all kinds of examples of fear, for example, is an emotion. It's one of the most essential emotions that can create havoc or turmoil, or it can unlock doors of incarceration. Various incarceration is to have the awareness of how important it is to meet our emotional needs properly. And it's very easy to understand, common sense. And understanding, again, our gen is an emotion that's really an impediment of whether or not we are labeled free to excel or not. But yet, such easy information is systematically hidden out of sight, so to speak, that people have a hard time comprehending what we are speaking of. Something that's that easy to recognize, in many cases it's hard to identify as a pending jail cell, if you will, or enslaver, is whether or not we can manage our own emotions to adhere to the positivity of our emotions. And we highlighted fear can be a motivator. In fact, if we understand how to use fear, we excel and avoid jail. And of course, we use it all sorts of terminology here to highlight the importance of fear, that it can be an additional help or assistance into our growth and development. It's how we manage this thing called fear. Very easy to understand, yet it is kept locked away from human sight, if you will, to be managed in a positive way that is designed to cause motivations to be our best friend versus being our worst enemy. And so we're just giving a brief summation of what emotional intelligence, the possibilities and capabilities of becoming or has become, and its potentiality. In many cases, it's completion, its fullness of what it can lead to without any interruption or impediment towards our own growth and development. And so again, it goes to that powerful African proverb, if you will, that's designed to keep us blind. Again, we are rhyming. And if we are avoiding blindness, then that means we can see obstacles that others can't see. And if you can't see a trap, then you are more prone to fall into a trap. And that can be defined in many levels of enslavement. And so we see how important it is to understand if these needs are not properly met. And now we want to go into an example of one emotional essential need is acceptance, a need to be recognized. We're defining with the definition stage again, defining that if we are accepted by who? Peers. Peers can be meaning abundance of sources. That we are accepted, we are respected, we are protected. Under this natural habitat, freedom is destined to provide. So those of you still following with this method of information, then you can see why it's important that our emotional needs are properly met by being accepted by the morally inclined peer group. Because just no any peers is acceptable. Because we know we can have negative friends, and we should say, in this case, associates. Bad company, undesirable, people that can get us in trouble, or the content of their ideologies can get us into what we call trouble. Dangerous environment that can handicap our growth and development. And so we can see the various layers of why it's important to meet these needs properly, and it's been defined in many ways. So at this time, Brother Henry, I'm going to yield. If you have a comment or question, feel free to do so before we go to our pending PSA.
We can go ahead and take our first PSA here, and then we'll come back and we can ask our listeners to press one on your phone if you got a question or comment, and we'll get you on the other side. So let's go ahead and take a break.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, we are back live. We have a call in the queue, area code 314-833. Your mic is open. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamal. This is Amir Muhammad Shahid. How are you this morning?
Fine, and you?
Alhamdulillah, all is well. I want you to define for me emotional intelligence. And you also
I had an interruption. Can you repeat what you just said?
I would like for you to define for me emotional intelligence so that I can properly follow you as you speak on.
Mm-hmm. I was saying go ahead. Are you complete?
Sir? No, I was asking if you would explain emotional intelligence for me.
Okay. Briefly, you know, it can be written in book form, so you can't say that what I'm going to say is in totality. It's just a portion of it's just as important as academic intelligence, meaning that it's needed and it's required to master. But from an emotional point of view, when it's, pardon?
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Are we having two people sing at the same time? I'm saying that briefly, emotional intelligence is to be intellectually inclined, but you're using your emotion as your base. Meaning, for example, I mentioned fear as an emotion. But, you know, for us to be what we consider upright Muslim, of being disobedient to Allah, it motivates us to be believers. That's using our emotions intelligently. Just for it to be a motivator for us to be what we consider doing was morally right and decency and righteousness. So we would know that our strength is found within our emotional intelligence, which is in decency and righteousness. As long as we are adhering to whatever we think we have come to a conclusion of as far as decency, whatever that is, and that's unlimited righteousness, whatever that is, and that's unlimited and unconditional, both of them, unconditional and unlimited. As long as we stay within those confines, then we will say that we're using our emotions intelligently.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jamal. Assalamu alaikum.
You're quite welcome. Okay. Let me take you out of the queue. Someone else have a question or a comment, feel free to press one on your phone. Another aspect, there's so many layers of emotional intelligence, but they all have a lot of commonalities, like a sense of belonging. This goes into a social intelligence, where we are social creatures. So we have now moved into a layer where we all have a sense of belonging. And we don't like to be by ourselves. We like company. We like companionship. And that companionship, which are all emotionally inclined in the beginning, is feeling to be amongst a group, again, has the criteria of what we consider decent and righteous. And so with that being the curriculum or the criteria a sense of belonging, the best social unit that we can properly say we are a part of is the family life. A stable, morally inclined family. A male, female. And so there's a criteria of what we consider marriage is strictly heterosexual and not homosexual. So there's a criteria that's Quranic. So there will be no, as far as who is family, that's acceptable. And so we respect people, but we have mandates that we adhere to if we say we follow Quranic, that it won't be no debate as far as who is family. And that's the easiest, I guess, acceptable, respectful way of saying what we can accept and what we cannot accept. There's no compromise as far as family. Now, that goes into a whole different other area of debate, but our way of life makes it clear as far as who we define as family. So you see how the criteria of in definition follows. What is family? What does family mean? Who are they? And again, it's based on hetero, male, female, not male, male, or female, female. And so there's a moral standard that must be adhered to first and foremost in a respectful way. And other areas where the Quran backs it up, to your way, and to meet mine. It was understood properly. But there should always be a standard of mutual respect without causing harm in degrading ways, whether it's physical harm, mental abuse, and emotional abuse. Those things are basically prohibited. That you don't use these as tortures in beating down or making you the superior, but the Quran is our criteria that we adhere to. And so it makes it easy for us to understand where we stay or where we reside in this particular issue, or even just understanding family defined. And so that answers the question in many cases as far as emotional intelligence. As we use the Quran as our thesis, if you will, or our criteria to adhere to. And then there are many other examples that we can use as far as describing what is emotional intelligence. That makes it easy to follow the mandate that, for example, emotional intelligence is that we be balanced versus imbalanced. In other words, emotions can be like a tornado. It can be very friendly in its proper use, but those same feelings can become very destructive if it's unbalanced or misused. Then if it's misused, then you would say that we are not using our emotional intelligence properly, because it becomes self-destructive in anger. Anger is another emotion. And so there are certain things we should be angry, but it has to be morally based or inclined about why this anger exists. We should not be content or happy or complacent when it causes immorality. We have to speak up and speak against certain things. And we know there are three layers where we are commanded to do. You speak out against a thing, and the weakest of the three is, at least you have it in your heart, even though you're too weak to speak on it, at least you have it in your heart that you are against something. And obviously, the physical part is if you're capable of removing such barrier or something that's hindering growth and development. You can physically remove it, meaning that there are certain criteria that you don't want to transgress where you become immoral yourself in the removal of such obstacles. So you have to be intelligent enough to know how to remove something without causing a havoc or a devastating result when somebody is murdered, for example. You don't go to the extreme of killing someone because of anger or disbelief. There's no agreement that you get to the extreme where you want to hurt somebody physically. And so using emotional intelligence, you won't go to that extreme. We have another call in the queue. I'm going to bring that person in at 706-627-6. Where you call it from?
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia, calling you for your good presentation this morning. And we pray a lot that what we're dealing with right now, I'm talking about those of the Quran. We know Shaitan is using the same scheme that he's always been using against those who Allah sends his guidance to for them to either accept or reject. He comes with the intellectual adultery. He comes with the spiritual adulteration. He comes with the immoral. And as far as we will let him bring us down to the level of animals and bestiality, etc., those are the schemes. And Allah lets us know that he tells us, don't go near adultery, because it will open so many doors, you'll forget that you're in the land of adultery. And you're no longer living the pure life that he has created us for us to live. And we become immoral in our intellect, our emotions, our spirit, but perverted. We become fornicators. And all these words that we've seen that Prophet Isa told the Christian world and the world before that, that all of you have broken the laws of your creation. But, again, I'm here to reestablish that law and give you the opportunity to have one more time, because he, the comforter, come after me, will bring you into all truth to let you understand that there's no knowledge you need to follow other than the knowledge that Allah gives you in his books and his examples of his human expression of how to live. So when we go back to basic language and be aware of what adultery means, what fornication means, and like you were saying a few minutes ago, what it means to compromise this deed. We all know when we all started in Al-Islam, regardless of how old we are, whatever, we were told, first of all, there's no compromising in this deed. Compromising means fornication. Compromising, what Allah says in the Quran and what is it, divided in the life of Prophet Muhammad, is adultery. Because we are dependent upon knowledge that we know is coming from our open enemy, the Shaitan, to give us another way of thinking that we are pleasing Almighty God Allah and to make ourselves equal to him and trying to get him to compromise his stance that he's not going to bow down to us. Spiritual, intellectual, immoral war. And that's what it is, this war that we ain't got no business in. Because Allah tells us when you use the tools of the Shaitan to fight his schemes, when all you had to do is just say no, then you are the loser. So when we get back to realizing that our responsibility is to keep the purity that Allah has intended for everyone to receive in the Quran and the life example from Prophet Muhammad, keep it in its proper, uncompromising situation. We went from Al-Islam to Islam. Then we went from Islam to schools of thought. We went down, we're all the way down the world. We back to black. We back to nigger. We back to negro. We back to white man. We back to hunky and all kind of other names that Shaitan has labeled and adulterated the true definition of Khalifa, the definition of Mukmin. And we already see what he's done to the word Muslim. How can we say that we are the people who are taking charge of our will and trying to put our will into the will of Allah when we see that the Muslim world is doing? He's using the same scheme that he used to subdue the people of the India, the people of the Torah, and the people of the books that we don't even know about yet. You know, so again, when we talk clear so that we can have the proper security up to where any kind of smoke, any kind of speck, even an atom, when it comes into the atmosphere of purity, we can go on red alert and ask Allah to protect us and guide us, inshallah. So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And help us get back to the proper definition, like you said. Words are definition.
Yes.
Amen.
And thank you for bringing that clarity as far as labels don't save us. Okay, and many people are confined to that. Just because I am this, I'm okay. Well, labels, it goes beyond labels. It goes deeper into action. As they say, action speaks louder than words. Okay, thank you. Brother Henry, we're going to go to another PSA if you have a comment. Brother Muhammad, take yourself out to queue. Looks like I'm taking you out. We'll go to this final PSA of today.
As-salamu alaykum. This is the Preacher Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, Brother Henry.
All right, yes. I just wanted to add to this on the subject of the essential emotional needs if they are not properly met. And we said the reason we're addressing this is because we see this as a problem, especially in the society in which we live in. when we say essential, we're talking about, again, that it's critical that these needs are met, and without them being met, then there's going to be some dysfunction or something that's missing in the human being, in the human life. And then I begin to think to myself, well, when do we need these needs? Do we need these needs as adults, or do we need these needs when we are born? do we need these type of emotional needs all along our lives? And I say that we need them from the time that we are birthed to the time we leave here. They may be different in type of needs, you know, because we have the emotional needs of joy and happiness. We have the emotional need of even of fear and hate and sorrow that comes into the life. But, you know, when we take a baby, and the baby haven't grown into the need of sorrow, because something can happen. And, you know, a lot of times we see, especially with the mother, that sometimes she may not survive the childbirth. But the child doesn't know to be sorrowful for the losing of that mother. But as we grow and we learn, and intelligent, as the one caller was talking about, that emotional intelligence, as we become more knowledgeable, then we take on different emotions. But it is essential that these emotions be properly placed, because if they're not, then we're going to get a not properly emotional need that's not properly met. It's sort of like the body needing different vitamins, vitamin A, B, C, and all these different names that we have for the vitamin. And if you don't have one of them in particular, then they call that a vitamin deficiency. Well, we have that same type of need in emotion. So we have to make sure that we get the proper emotion to the human being at the proper time so they can grow and develop as a proper human being. And it seems, like I say, when we look at the society, that we're missing a lot of these essential and critical emotions. So I just wanted to give us something to think about there. As-salamu alaykum.
Another thing that makes it more compelling and more confrontational is that we are confronted by urges and passions and impulses. You know, all those are emotional related. And it's very difficult, as they say, breaking a habit. It's just like trying to stop essential needs of survival, of what water needs to do or prescribe to do. You need it, you know, and when you are emotionally inclined through your own hormonal system, hormones that is within your, we might say, within your nature, that you have this pulling against you as far as urges. You have an urge. Difficult that is to break. When you are inclined by impulses, a natural inclination of impulses. And so you're looking at confinement or incarceration within your own genealogy, your genes, your own hormones. All that goes emotional ability to master or to master these emotional tendencies that are rooted or seated and into a must break cycle. And so when we're talking about jinn, nature, something that is naturally prohibited, but it's tied in our own genealogy. Genealogy referring to our own gene. Then it makes it very, that much more complicated in order to master what we call the gene. And it becomes personal. And so now it becomes personal. You know, it's hard that you got your ego in the way. And you want to do what makes me happy. Or, better phrasing it, I'm going to do what makes me happy. And it becomes that much more difficult. Because self is now in the way. Self-interest, or we might say immediate self-gratification, is part of that gen. And so many people don't want to define our gen on emotional basis, our own personal emotions, because that's like a cover-up that we like to hide under. And so we want to, like, confine the gene as something outside of self. And so we like to go to the external gene as something that doesn't relate to immediate self-gratification. So it becomes even more difficult to accept, to use that in excuse. Look at this here. We try to find excuses to justify. I will repeat that. All humans, and I would go that far to say all humans try to find an excuse to justify. Then it becomes even more hard to deal with. So let me stop and let's bring this call back in at 607, 627. Your mic is open again. Go ahead.
Just want to say right quick that, you know, every.
Hold it. You got cut off.
Okay, you still there?
Go ahead. Yes.
I said everything, you know, has its own creation. The jinn is a jinn, and a human being is a human being. Then also we have to understand that and accept that. Then we also have to understand that Allah has gave us something that is perfected for all of the creation that He has created will benefit from, and that is al-Islam. We have to make it simple, keep it simple, stay within the perimeter of the model example that's been given to the human being to exemplify in this test that we're going through in this reality that we're living in called the world or accessor earth or whatever we want to label it. And get back to just doing the basics. We all understand what happened when we established Iman. We all know what happened to us when we started to establish Salat. You know, when we all started practicing the real type of Zakat that shows the world that I love you like I love myself. And I want for you what I want for myself. And we know how to make sacrifices to listen
brother,
to what Allah
brother,
corrects us on.
Brother, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
We run out of time. I'm so sorry.
Yes, sir. Okay, appreciate that too, bro. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
appreciate that. May Allah continue to bless you, you know.
All right, thank you. We run out of
yes,
time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, man. I got money sense. And his topic for today, um, is the same continuation of a topic from last week. So let's stay tuned for you, ma'am, Adam B. Thank you all for listening. Sorry, Adam, for going over a little bit. I'm coming out the host seat now. You can call me in. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Adam B.R. here on Money Sense on AM 360 on this Thursday morning. I want to welcome everybody to our program today and those that are remaining online after Dr. Jamal Rashid's program, excellent program. We're going to talk about, I just have a topic. They still want to disregard us. Have that topic, and we'll get more into that in a minute. But before we begin, we're going to read an excerpt from the Quran, Surah to Ibrahim, the 22nd verse the 22nd ayah of that chapter, Ibrahim, excuse me. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa qala shaitanu lama kudiya al-amru inna allaha wa adakum وَقَدَّلْ حَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي وَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِكِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِكِي إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلُ إن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم صدق الله العظيم. In the translation as given by Bill Yusuf Ali, and Shaitan will say when the matter is decided, it was Allah who gave you a promise of truth. I too promised than my promise to you. I had no authority over you except to call you, but you listened to me. Then reproach not me, but reproach your own souls. I cannot listen to your cries, nor can ye listen to mine. I reject your former act in associating me with Allah. For wrongdoers, there must be a grievous penalty. Sadaq Allahu Adeem. Allah speaks the truth. And surely, Allah's word is the truth. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That is a biting revelation from the Shaitan, or admission from the Shaitan, which he knew the whole time. But I guess his arrogance had him believing the lies for a minute until it came time to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he admitted to everyone that he could not fulfill his promise. He could not fulfill his promise. That, to me, that ayah should be read at the end of every newscast that comes on the media, especially during this campaign time when people are promising the world. They're promising everything. I was listening to the news. Really, it was on TV, so I was looking at the news. And there's a lot of campaigning going on already, and so two of the people campaigning for president happened to be in North Carolina over the last few days. And they're trying to appeal to their base of voters, because they want to be the nominee. So one of them was Ron DeSantis. And he gave his version of his campaign promise. I'm going to play it right. It's only like half a minute. So let's play it and see if you can hear it.
And I also look forward to, as president, restoring the name of Fort Bragg to our great military base in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And it's an iconic name and an iconic base, and we're not going to let political correctness run amok in North Carolina.
It was on June 2nd.
All right. That was Republican candidate for President Ron DeSantis from Florida. So those of you that are in Florida, you probably know him well. But not to be one up on, we had another candidate in town. And Mike Pence, y'all heard of him, right? And he made his promise.
So true of nations. And I want to assure you, as we embark on our campaign, ours will be a vision of freedom for the American people. Starting off with the defense of freedom, I promise you, after years of budget cuts by the Biden administration, we will rebuild our military. We will give our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guard the support they need to accomplish their mission. We will end the political correctness in the hallways of the Pentagon, and North Carolina will once again be home to Fort Bragg.
All right, so he didn't want DeSantis to get the best of him, so he matched that. And you heard the cheers from the crowd. For those of you that might not have known, the Department of Defense came under orders about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, to change the name of military bases that were named after Confederate generals. Right? And it was learned, well, first of all, they were Confederate generals who tried to overthrow the U.S. government. I mean, I don't know how to put it, you know, I don't know how to say it nicely, but you're talking about political correctness. Even when we learned about the Civil War, it was never pushed to the fact that insurrections. They were in the U.S. Army, decided to overthrow the government that they claimed they served. And it was never taught like that during history classes. I mean, we know that there was a war between the states. That's how they named it, the war between the states. And now what they're doing, they're saying it, because I researched, why are they renaming the bases? And they said, and they're saying it, that the bases are being renamed because the generals from the Confederate, and just the word Confederate, that they tried to overthrow the government. They're saying, and now what actually happened, but they never said it that way when I was taking the class, because they didn't want to hurt the feelings of the Southerners who had their Southern pride. But that's exactly what happened. And then they named the bases after Confederate generals who went against their oath to overthrow the government. But the base naming all took place when they erected statues in the South of some of these generals and others who tried to overthrow the U.S. government, who were fighting to maintain slavery. And some of these generals held slaves and were slave owners. Right? And they honored them. And they named bases after them. Because no one had enough guts to say, hey, these guys are traitors. Really? These guys are traitors. So no one had the guts to say that. But in the South, they honored these guys who were trying to fight to uphold the right to have us, African Americans, as slaves. And you still have that going on today. So why not campaign on that? Because, hey, we're down South, and a lot of these guys down South are at most racist, or at least disregarding the U.S. citizens there who happen to be African Americans, how they consider this whole thing. They didn't ask us our opinion. We're just supposed to accept. The general who fought the U.S. government, they were trying to maintain the status quo in keeping African Americans slaves. Now we come now to critical race theory. It's so critical. Well, we can't teach the critical race theory because how do you think the little white child would feel if they learned the truth about what some Caucasians did? But how do you think the little African American child feel when you're honoring people who tried to keep their forefathers in chains and working for free? How do you think they would feel? No one ever says that. So didn't want to disregard us. He didn't want to disregard us. Instead of doing the right thing and considering how we would feel, I mean, they don't care. And unfortunately, you have some of us that are being disregarded also. Disregard ourselves. We don't consider that. People say, well, why are you talking about black and white? Why are you talking about racism? You know, we're Muslims. We're better than that. Let me tell you something. I never have of wanting my people to get better treatment. I never have stopped that. I'm going to tell you the words of a good friend and Muslim leader in North Carolina. We talked about his, we had a program on his wife when she passed a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago. But I can remember him being interviewed on the television station. And they asked him about his acceptance of Islam. He said, I came to Islam because I was interested in God in a better position. And I'm paraphrasing it, I can't remember the exact words. And I was concerned about our people's treatment at the hands of the Caucasian. But then I found God in the process. And I said, that's a good way to put it. Because he, like me, and I'm sure many of you became Muslim in the Nation of Islam under the promise that God's going to destroy this system, this racist system. But we know we couldn't do it. Our motivation. But we found God in the process. But that in no way satisfied my original. In no way. And I don't know where that thinking came about, that people say. I remember an African-American came up to me and said, "Brother Mike," and I just gave him a khutbah. And he told me, he said, "Brother, there's no race in Islam." There's no race in Islam. Now, he didn't attend our masjid much. He was always at the masjid with the immigrant brothers. So he come up to me saying, there's no race in Islam. I said, I'll tell you what, brother. You go back over there where they told you that lie. Ask them, can you marry their daughter? You're going to find race real quick. Muhammad said there's no race in Islam. I don't remember him saying that. Especially if we read his last khutbah. He didn't say there's no race. He said there's no superiority. Superiority. Race over another. The name Arab race, he was talking with a lot of Arabs too, to remind them because you're Arab, it don't mean you're superior. There's no race. He said there's no superiority. And I don't know for the life of me why that brother felt he can get some traction coming to me because I'm speaking to 90% not the whole Kibbutz, but 90% of the people that are sitting on the floor in front of me. So I assume he went back over to where he came from because he felt comfortable over there. And that's good. I had no problem with that. I had no problem with that at all. So, then somebody said, well, Imam Muhammad, don't put that on Imam Muhammad either. I never heard Imam Muhammad say there's no race in Islam. Like that. There's race in the human family. It says in the Quran that he made us into family. Allah did that. And Allah said, so that you may despise one another. You may know one another and not despise one another. Again. No inferiority one over another. We all come from Adam. Our father Adam. We all come from him. So, if anybody feels upset that I use the word African-American or Caucasian, then this ain't, I'm sorry. I mean, that's not my intention to make you feel uncomfortable. So when I look at the news, I look at things, and I still am concerned about the situation of my people. And I still want to work for the improvement of my people. And I feel that I better equip myself to do that by following the Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and following the good commentary, the commentary of Imam W. Muhammad, whom I trust, and inshallah, we'll get better. So anyway, I'm going to play this PSA, and we'll return after.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
I see we have with their hands up, their hands have been up the whole time. Even before I started, their hands was up. So they must have my notes. Let's go find out what's happening. Area code 706-627. 706-627. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Brother Muhammad by the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. Now, we be listening because you do a good job on expressing yourself, which helps us to express ourselves. I just wanted to say with the good points that you brought out, we have to also remember what we're experiencing right now, how our people, using that terminology, you know, who are not Muslims, but again, our people who are accepted al-Islam as their way of life, we have to remember that they had black slaves also who rallied around white Confederate enemies because they knew they would lose their slaves too. And what we're seeing today is still just repeating itself. We see how our community
hold, hold,
people.
Muhammad, hold. Before you, before you lose me too much, brother. Who had black slaves?
Oh, I've been go online. You can read the history. There was one sister in had a bunch of.
Two.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to support. I agree with what you said. It might be one or two, but I was trying to show how they are like what we're experiencing today. How our people are rallying around people like Trump and everything like that, because a lot of their interests, their investments, are based behind the Republican platform, and they got loans and they got block grants and they got certain money from the promises of those people, and those people have got our people involved with overthrowing the government in spirit. And some of them are deeds in action. They spent their money behind the scenes. But also, Shaitan has tested us by seeing how emotional as we are to where we will ignore that there are a lot of African Americans or Negroes or blacks or whatever you want to call ourselves of our history that are behind Donald Trump. They are bad, and they're coming out of the woodwork to test our faith.
Muhammad. There's not a lot of them behind Donald Trump. I mean, Trump was in North Carolina at a rally, and there was a few. Not a lot. See, one thing about social media. Have you thinking there's a lot, but there's not. There's a few.
Yeah, but right now what I mean by what I base mine on, I know in Ohio where I'm from. I know where here in Georgia have a lot of African American or people of our faith who are not who are confused in many kind of ways. You know, their way of worship, etc., who are behind Donald Trump. And I mean what I say a whole lot. But Donald Trump was just here a couple of days ago, and you'd be surprised, at least 15% to 20% of the people who were showing their faces on social media as well as downtown Columbus, Georgia, were African Americans. You know, behind him. And when and if you ever seen an African American wearing a red hat, don't take it for granted. It might have been just a regular boat, but these are the way that we have been expressing ourselves to support what Donald Trump done, what people of the Republican Party are doing. Political struggle is more in depth than what people think, because they're trying to win over again, as always, using that terminology, the black vote. But this time they need the black vote so bad that they are making their supporters come out of the closet.
Let me say it again. And I don't have the numbers behind, but I've looked at election results from 2020, right? They didn't get enough African-American votes to move the needle one iota, right, at all. Now, I know you, on social media you got a few. I saw one, had maybe about 15 African-Americans in a picture, and it said blacks for Trump. I saw that. You understand? And I put on my caption. Somebody said, well, why they do it? I said, Trump probably gave them an RC Cola and a moon pie each to take that picture. Right? But there ain't a whole lot of them.
No, I gave them a percentage. I think it's somewhere around 15 to 20% of the Republicans.
No.
Now remember that I really don't. I think you might understand. I don't tell the story. I don't know how to use social media, and I don't be on social media. I listen to Islamic broadcasts. Plus, you know, I don't really indulge in Google and all that kind of stuff. I don't know anything about them.
I don't know how to use them.
So I don't use them to help me understand what's going on with Allah has guided us to. I'm talking about what I've seen with my own eyes, what I've a few meetings I have went to on my own. You know, wondering is always like we all been
you
doing.
Win.
What is wrong with us? Even, huh?
You win.
You said we.
I said you win too. They probably counted you amongst their group. You
no, no, not Well, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. I agree with you. Because that big fist, I agree with they might have. You know. So we know there's always going to be some wrong involved, and somebody's going to be used to try to build a body count or whatever you want to call it. But bottom line, still, that doesn't take away from the real, what really is happening. Because remember, we tried the best of our ability, still looking at everything from the Quran and life of the Prophet Muhammad, like you said, and from the Tafsir of Ibn W. Muhammad. We know that the turnaround in our history, when Ibn Muhammad left our community because of our people. Wasn't no bunch of white people involved. Wasn't no bunch of people, Chinese. You know, it was our people who chose the dunya over what Allah was blessing Ibn Muhammad to bring to us, and that is how to be successful in the dunya now and in the job that later on. So we can't ignore that either. You know, no abundant party of Caucasians, Chinese, Japanese, Muslims had anything to do with the blessing that Allah has sent to us through the leadership of Imam Warzi Bahamut.
Well, it's on the burden is on those of us to say we follow him. Show the world what we're claiming.
There you go. Yes, sir. That's right.
Until we show the world what we're claiming. Until, as they say, the proof is in the pudding.
Allahu Akbar.
We do it.
That's why it's important to know that. Right. Well, just in closing, I just want to say also that's why it's important to know that even though there's no point at the end, but we know about the shura that's supposed to be trying to take place in July, led by 360, supporting Imam Bilal from Philadelphia in the establishment of
When they develop that to the point that they can promote it, then we'll know about it. Okay,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
They haven't promoted it yet, so no idea right now.
Now, when you say they, who are you talking about? Because I know Imam, I'm working very closely to Imam Bilal from day one. I was the first one on the radio.
Well, that's fine. But when it gets organized to the point that you can put the word out there. Because I haven't seen it. I heard you talk about it. I've heard Imam Bilal talk about it. But I haven't seen it in writing to say, be here on this date or whatever. Or this is a pre-. So when they do that, then we'll promote it. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, brother.
Okay. Yes, sir. Likewise.
Assalamu alaikum.
May Allah peace, blessings, be upon you and the family. I said, assalamu alaikum.
Making us smile. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 949-689-949-689.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Adam Bey. I appreciate your topic, and I also appreciate the verse that you read in the beginning of the it really brought a different perspective for me on it. Even though we've heard that particular verse many times, but sometimes the repetition, you know, brings something out in that, when you read it. But also, what I wanted to say is that, you know, I think it's important that we remember that when we're watching, you know, the first, really, in my opinion, the first social media was the television. I mean, it definitely impacted the social life of people. So you know, I have to include that as well. But also, one of the things that's very real is that they say that at one time, you know, the journalists were the way that the people got their information and news. But that's changed. They said now they have what they call perception managers that outnumber journalists. I forget what the amount is. I don't know, 10 to 1 or something like that, maybe even more. I can't remember. But I know that perception managers, so they're not even, they're putting things out there to shape the perception of the masses. So how do we know what we're looking at when we see things? We really don't know. And you have different kinds of companies that their job is to make crowds. Literally, to provide crowds. They pay the people or whatever they do to get them out there. So we really don't know. And I'm more inclined to agree with you that it's much less than 15% of African Americans that support that party like that. And I'm not against the party in particular, but I just want to, say it because it's really about divide and conquer. So they're always going to give you two sides and extremes on both sides. So I'm just going to just think about that in our processing of the information that we get. We really don't know, because lying is a big, big part of this, and deception is a big part of how we see things. And we have to know that
you're
these
right,
people are using science, and I'll stop there.
You're right. No, you're right, brother. And it's going to get worse.
Yes.
AI, they can put visual things together in their voice, saying things that they didn't really say. You understand? But they're going to put out there as though they said it. As you say, who knows what? And it's bad enough now, but who knows what is the truth? Who knows what it is? And the reality is, beginning in 2016, they have been putting things on social media. You know, if you repeat things long enough, it becomes reality. So now they put things out there, and a lot of it's lies, and to get people to act the same way. So we're working against our own interest, right? When we don't have, any strategy, and we don't have loyalty, and we don't have those types of things for us to develop a strategy that is consistent. And then everybody wants to be the big chief, so they can't buy into something that might be a good, wholesome idea because there's no documentation of them thinking about it first. And if they didn't think about it, or they can't position themselves, then they won't support it. I ran across that here in Fayetteville. You might remember, or you might not, back in last fall, there was a campaign to change the structure of the city council in Fayetteville. And so we came up with this opposing committee. And so I went to a local NAACP guy, the president of the NAACP, and to see what their position was, and maybe we can work together. Or more importantly, hopefully that they would have a similar position. And he told me, he said, yeah, we need to come and join their effort, which I didn't know they had effort. So I said, okay, why should we do that? He said, well, you know, it looks kind of bad when we're having different positions. We're not on the same page. And I said, looking bad to who? Why should we join your efforts when we've been out here working and I haven't seen NAACP doing anything? And then I asked him a question. I said, when you have a, you're an ex-military guy. I said, is the war fought on one front or is it fought on multiple fronts? And he admitted to me, no, when they have a strategy, they form it on multiple fronts. I said, well, why we got to be on the same front? I said, you come up with your strategy and execute it, and we'll come up with our strategy and execute it. And eventually, we'll come together victorious. But see, I know where he was coming from. They got to be in charge of everything. And so we didn't join together. We developed our strategy, and I guess they had one too. But eventually we defeated the effort. We defeated the effort. But see, that was their problem. They want to be Because the Caucasian is always coming to them and making them feel they're important. Right? But they really, thank God we have citizens in Fayetteville that are active. So we were able to eventually merge in with some young folk, a lot of energy, a lot of creativity. We were able to get it done. So that's the problem in our community in general, whether it's local, statewide, national. And the Caucasians know us. They know when to get, and they weren't concerned at the time, because they know they're Negro. That's just an example we want to talk about. But on this strategy, it's described as political correctness. Why does it have to be political correctness if you're honoring a general, try to keep slaves, descendants of those slaves, a problem with that? Why does that have to be political correct? Why can't it just be doing the right thing, considering others as well as you consider yourself? And it's that way in a lot of things in the political realm. But the best way to defeat political stuff is for us to come together in a consistent effort and be on the same page. We're not. So I wanted to talk about that this morning because it just struck me in that. And so if anybody has something to say, just raise your hand and come on board again. But we're going to play another PSA, and we'll be right back. And just raise your hand, and we'll bring you on board. And something else you wanted to talk about, we can. All right.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
And wouldn't that be a great thing if through our efforts we can help remake the world? But we also have to remake our own selves. And Allah has given us something to have us remake ourselves. And hopefully, inshallah, through the effort, it will lead to us doing our part to remake the world. All right, another. Oh, got a hand raised. It's Muhammad. I know Muhammad's always ready. So, assalamu alaikum, brother. You get your hand raised or you forget to take it down? Muhammad. I guess he wasn't. He just got his hand raised. All right. So, one thing we were beginning to talk about last week, and as you know, as we get into this political mode, normally it picks up after the after Labor Day, but now it's today's environment is all the time, especially on the Republican side, since you have so many people that are trying to garner the nomination for the Republican candidacy. And I had a joke. I said, "Well, now that former President Trump has been indicted, he's got federal charges, and they talk about having a case in Florida. All DeSantis got to do is help stack the jury and help convict Trump, and then he will be the front runner. So let's see if he can pull it off. I don't know. Let's see if he can pull that off. One more thing that ran across my desk and that concerns me, and I don't know how many of you might have seen it. There's a brother in Columbia, South Carolina, that has a YouTube video, and I'm not sure how far this was spread. It came across my desk a couple of days ago, when the community there in Columbia has a beef. When I say community, some people in Columbia have a beef against Imam Omar Shaheed. And he put it in full blast on Facebook. No, on YouTube, I'm sorry, on YouTube. Full blast on YouTube. And I was dismayed to see that on YouTube in that way, because it doesn't give any forum for to hear the other side of the situation. But I kind of feel bad that was done like that, and I feel bad that there's somebody that's trying to tarnish the name of Imam Omar. And let me tell you why. When I was a resident imam of Masjid Omar bin Said, this was prior to us completing the construction of the masjid. We were in the process of doing that. No, yeah, right before that. And I was accused of stealing $100,000, right? And I can remember being at a national convention. And I just happened to be in the restroom, and two brothers came in, and one of the brothers said, "Hey, brother, did you hear about that imam? They have in North Carolina." They didn't know I was in there, but I was washing my hands. And the brother said, "No, what did he do?" "Man, he stole $100,000. So I turned to him, I said, "He did what? He stole $100,000. Man, we need to hang that bum." They didn't know it was me they were talking about. "Yeah, we need to get him. We need to hang that bum." I'm just playing into it. It was then that I found out that rumor was going around. And I said, "Man, I'm glad the ones that spread that rumor didn't have Facebook or YouTube. I'd have been all on Facebook and YouTube with the $100,000. And about a month later, I got a call from Imam Clement El-Amin telling me that he had heard about the rumor, and he wanted to know if the national, I forgot what they were called at the time, if they can come in and investigate. Now, the Imam already said that all of our masters are autonomous, and they had no authority. So I took it to the believers that in our community, and they said, "Okay, yeah, we'll agree to meet with them." So I went back and called them, and I said, "Well, Brother Imam, are those allegations in writing or just rumor?" He said, "No, they're rumor, and I don't have anything to write." I said, "I tell you what, if you call the person who is spreading that and ask them to put it in writing, then we'll do it. And so he called me back about a few days later and said, hey, I got something in writing. I said, well, can you fax it to me? And it was in writing. So we agreed to the meeting. Imam Muhammad is going to speak in Charlotte, North Carolina, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks later, and we agreed that we would be in Charlotte to answer their challenges. So when we got to Charlotte, I had the master documentation. You see, when we sold the old property, when they came through a right-of-way purchase, we got $120,000 actually from the state for that move. So I had $100,000 came first, and I had a copy of the check. I had the bank statement us depositing the check in our checking account, master checking account. I had every checking account bank statement from that time to the month of the meeting, the month before the meeting. And at no time did the balance drop below $100,000. Right? And that was part of our presentation. So they don't know, me being an accountant, I know how to keep records. But I wasn't a treasurer. We had a treasurer. So anyway, with our documentation, I said, well, if I took $100,000, where'd I take it from? $100,000, the bank statement would show a decrease of $100,000. As a matter of fact, the bank statement showed increases. So the bottom line, when we met with the imam and presented our evidence, at no time could it be said that $100,000 was missing. That was strictly rumor. After the meeting, went to hear the imam's public address. After the public address, all the imams went out to the Charlotte airport to see Imam Muhammad off. And Plymouth stood up and said, well, Brother Imam, that the money is well in good hands on the Imam Adam Bia. And I said to myself, they told you, man, Muhammad, I stole $100,000. You understand? So I know how rumor can get started in these communities. So give Imam Omar the benefit of the doubt and have the accusers produce their evidence. Otherwise, don't go on YouTube and put some up. That stuff is hard to take down once you put it out there. And don't accuse a Muslim brother of something that you can't prove whether it happens or not. So, yeah, that kind of is sensitive to me because that was going on. That was going on. And I listened to as much of the YouTube video as I could, but I had questions. In this case, they were upset, supposedly, because the master had invested $300,000 of the money they were trying to build the master into an interest-bearing account. And the brother said that the interest is Reba, and the man Muhammad was against Reba. I said, but he didn't hear studying man that I heard, whatever with that. And I got a lecture where the man said, Reba is exorbitant interest, loan shark type interest. And I assure you, the banks are not paying exorbitant style interest at all. So with that being said, if you run across the YouTube video, please consider it. That there's explanations that we should find more about before we accuse a brother unnecessarily. So thank you for tuning in. We're at the top of the hour. I'm getting ready for Imam Yusuf Ramadan. And this topic today is dispute with them by means better than mere disputations. That comes from the Quran, doesn't it? And dispute with them by means better than mere disputations. All right, this has been Adam B.I. here on Money Sense. Thank you very much for tuning in. And inshallah, we'll be back next week at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waris Adin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waris Adin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi. And in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waris Adin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspirations. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is, peace be unto you. With God's day and the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we'd like to welcome everyone to A New Day for Al-Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So today, our topic is taken directly from the Quran, which says, dispute with them by means better than mere disputation. In other words, you know, don't be contentious just for the sake of being contentious. You are, I'm not, it is, it isn't, you know, just back and forth, you know, arguments. And Allah says to us in Quran, A'udhu billahi minash rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, recite what is sent of the book by inspiration to you, and establish regular prayer, for prayer restrains from shameful and unjust deeds. And remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life. Wal-dhikrullahu akbar. Without doubt. And Allah knows the deeds that you do. And dispute you not with the people of the book, except with means better than mere disputation, unless it be with those of them who inflict wrong and injury. But say, we believe in the revelation which has come down to us, and in that which came down to you. Okay? So this is clear. And let me just finish. Our God and your God is one. And it is to him we bow. And parenthetically, in Islam. And thus it is that we have sent down the book to you. So the people of the book believe therein, as also do some of these pagan Arabs, and none but unbelievers reject our side. Surely Allah speaks the truth. So Abdullah Yusuf Ali, Tafsir, his explanation. He says, mere disputations are futile. In order to achieve our purpose as true standard bearers for Allah, we shall have to find true common grounds of belief, as stated in the latter part of this verse. And also to show by our urbanity, kindness, sincerity, truth, and genuine anxiety for the good of others, that we are not cranks or merely seeking selfish or questionable aims. And then he goes on to say, of course, those who are deliberately trying to wrong or injure others will have to be treated firmly, as we are guardians of each other. With them, there is little question about exercising patience until the injury is prevented or stopped. So if it's not a legitimate disagreement, we may have a legitimate disagreement, and there are ways for us to legitimately disagree with each other, even among the believers, not just with the people of the book, but even among Muslims. There may be two roads to take. And Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, has told us, if you have two roads that you can take, two avenues that you can take, and they're both halal, if they're both halal, you should take the easiest route. They're both halal. Now, that's open to interpretation too. Some people may say, well, this is not easy. This is harder. Or if we take this route in the long run, it's going to turn out to be hard. Or, you know, people have their own way of coming to their own conclusions. They have their own way. And Allah says that everyone will act according to their own disposition. So you'll find dispositions among people. You see people with certain dispositions. You know, and you may find that in a nation, you know, the Germans the Germanic people have historically to be, because of their history, have been seen to be a reputation for being bellicose. Bellicose means warlike. That doesn't mean that you won't meet a German who's a man or woman who perhaps is a pacifist. They don't have any warlike tendencies in them at all. But they're saying the character of a certain people, the character of that people. Now, they may be characterized favorably or unfavorably, or fairly or unfairly, you know. The Colombian people are characterized by the reputation that they have of being a drug-producing and drug-selling nation, that they're seen as being a violent people. And I'm sure they're very gentle Colombian people, you know. And Mexico, the same thing. These are the type of reputations that have been foisted upon people, you know, and fairly or unfairly, as I say. So, you know, we have to be, every tub has to stand on its own bottom, as we were taught. You know, every tub has to stand on its own bottom. And we shouldn't paint people with a broad brush, with a broad brush. That's not fair. We don't like it when we're painted with that. You know, people will characterize you perhaps unfairly. You know, but they'll see you as an African American and think, oh, well, you must be a hip-hop fan. Huh? You must be a hip-hop fan. Or you have a penchant for this or that particular quote-unquote culture. Huh? You like hip-hop music. You like loud music. And you may be a person who presents as of African-American descent, and you like classical music, so-called classical music. And why I say so-called is because it's classical of that period of the Europe, what they call European music. It may be classical music in Africa. That's classical for them, for their history. So we just accept certain of these terms, you know. And we look at the country today, the country is extremely, they tell us the country is extremely divided because the divisions have reached very high levels, decibels. Mm-hmm. It seems as though everyone wants to put you in a certain category, that if you express any opinion whatsoever that is contrary to what that person believes, or their particular group, if they identify with a certain group, if they identify as a liberal, or they identify as a conservative, they identify as a certain group, they identify as a Democrat, they identify as a Republican, you know. Right away, if you don't fall in lockstep with everything that particular group has approved, you know, then they categorize you as being, you're a right-wing extremist, or you're a Donald Trump supporter, or and vice versa. You have to check each box down the line. And if you adhere to the policies or the point of view of a certain party without giving it any independent thought of your own, that's very foolish. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, has told us that we are the Ummatul Wusta, the midway community, not going too far to the right or to the left. And so we don't accept those labels that they give us, or you're right wing. We may be, they say the Republican Party is the party of business, as if there are no self-declared Democrats who are millionaires or even billionaires. And the head of the erstwhile head of the Democratic Party, which is thought to be the president, President Biden, he has said that he is a capitalist. He's an unapologetic capitalist. You see? So those terms have taken on a meaning.
those terms have taken on a meaning that may not be consistent with the actual definition of the word, of the dictionary definition of the word. So someone who says that I'm a capitalist is saying that they, in today's terminology, they're saying that they subscribe to or support this modern American vision or version of capitalism. That is to get all you can all you get. In other words, hoard it, build it, stack it for yourself. It's a selfish vision of economics. And they would lead you to believe that either you have to be a capitalist, and this really illustrates my point. If you're not a capitalist or you don't accept the capitalist viewpoint of the world, you automatically a socialist. But the first word that would come to mind is communist. You're a communist. Really, they don't even understand that communism is a political system. Socialism is the economic system that would go along, more or less, with so-called communism. And they characterize communism from the word commune or community. They characterize that as the state having control of the means of production, as opposed to capitalism, which ostensibly subscribe to the view that the private individual should have control of the, to use a Marxist term, means of production. It's thought to be more, quote, and they want to conjoin those words together. Capitalism equals democracy. Who said so? Because really, you know, when you study the history of governments and you look back, even in the West, you see that there was feudalism. Feudalism was the rule of the day. Huh? You had a king, and that king even claimed that he had the right of kings, that he had, and that there's a man, not a woman, no such thing as a woman king. That never existed. If it was a female, that's bringing me to my topic, if it was a female that held the position of a monarch, that is an absolute ruler, ruler. That was a queen. But because Hollywood and the media, they are the masters of deception. They will give you a title of a film, The Woman King, in blackface, and get you to accept it, and get you to begin to dispute with one another about the efficacy of it, about the reality of it, or what it really doesn't mean, what it really means this, or it could be, no, the way that they present it. No, they know words make people, like the Imam gave us. Words make people. And man means mind, not male. Man, meaning a human being. The feudalism, which they exported, it was the dominant social system in medieval Europe, in which the so-called nobility held lands from the crown in exchange for military service. And vassals were in turn tenants of the nobles, while the peasants or serfs were obliged to live on their lord's land. We still have that terminology, right? The landlord. The landlord. And give him homage, labor, and a share of the produce, notionally in exchange for military protection. So that's still today. So the dominant force, so the whole concept of the quote-unquote new world was them leaving that behind and leaving off the tyranny of the king. We don't have kings anymore. They say that today. Oh, the president is not a king. He's not a king. He's not above the law. Clearly he is, or he's not subject to the same law that the average Joe would be subject to. It's not possible. It's not even possible. Or practical, I should say. It may be possible. It's not practical. You wanted them to lock Donald Trump up, to put him in handcuffs, and give him a perp walk, and take a mug shot, and disseminated that to the media so you can see him taking a mug shot and being fingerprinted like the average Joe or Jane. That wouldn't happen. Because if they did that to me or you, they wouldn't have added extra security, not knowing what the public's reaction would be. So if they didn't put him in jail overnight and put him for an arraignment before a judge and have a hearing and a bail or a bond or ankle bracelet, and they let him go the same day and let him knowingly get on a private jet and leave the state, you won't be charged with something, and they tell you that go anywhere you want to go. Even on a commercial, they might take your passport or whatever. And I'm not advocating saying that's what they should have done, but we're not able to look at this thing objectively and intelligently because we're up in our feelings. We're in our emotions. So you listen to New Day, Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We're having some important announcements for you, so please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. So we just
dealing with some of the trending topics, you know, and interweaving them with our outlook, our viewpoint, our ideology, as we should. Other people have programs, television programs, and podcasts, et cetera, and they're not afraid to give their point of view. In fact, they're quite bold with advancing their points of view and even insisting that we accept their points of view. They changed June from being Black Music Month, African American Music Month, to Pride Month, if you will accept it. They say run it up a flagpole and see if you can get somebody to salute it. So they'll run anything up a flagpole. If you salute it, that's up to you. That's up to you. So we can say that everybody is the same, but Allah says that he has ranged us in ranks. We're all the same in his eyesight as souls who can either earn his reward or displeasure. We're all equal in that regard. But he has ranged us in ranks to require service from some to the others. And we're not afraid to be known as Abdullah, servant of Allah. We're the servant of Allah. We serve Allah. And we serve Allah by serving the people. The best way to serve Allah is to serve the people, you see? So, you know, so now the dominant structure in America today is the corporation. So you think that they got rid of the feudal system because we don't want to be ruled by kings. But now you have the dominant corporations that actually run, as the imam explained to us, the imam's terminology was the material interests. These politicians don't run the government. They only run it in formality. But they take their marching orders from the materialists, also known as the donor class. So you think that if you can vote, and we still have that what they call a franchise. We can vote. But when them people get in office, do you think that they're going to do exactly what you sent them there to do? Well, if they don't, we won't put them back. Well, you're going to have to wait 4 years or 2 years. And in them 2 years and 4 years, they're going to do a lot of damage. They're going to do what the people, you don't give them no money. You just give them your vote. And you expect them to do for you in return those things that they used on their platform or whatever. And you may not even agree with their entire platform. But if they have certain, some people, they call them one-issue voters. Oh, if you're not pro-choice, I'm not with you. If you say you're pro-choice, I'm with you. I'm voting for you. But what about all the other things? Or they say they're pro-life. You say you're pro-life, I'm with you. But you're pro-life in terms of denying abortion, but you're not pro-life. You still want to take Social Security away from the people. Openly, they said it. Biden has said it. Don't, please, I'm begging you, don't believe me. Go look it up for yourself. Certainly the Republicans are saying that. McCarthy, they want to take the last dollar away from the people. Social Security. And listen to the language. It's an entitlement. Of course it's an entitlement, because I'm entitled to it. But their use of the word entitlement, I paid it when I was working, so why shouldn't I, if I paid into the Social Security, why shouldn't I get my money? Why shouldn't I get it back in my retirement? But they use the word entitlement in a negative way. Oh, you think you're entitled. I know I'm entitled to it. But you want to make it seem like this is a person that has the wrong spirit. They feel that they're entitled to a handout. There ain't no handout. You handed me back what I gave you in the first place. You deducted it from my pay. Yes. With FICA. Huh? You deducted it from my pay every week or every 2 weeks when I got paid. And you're saying now that I'm not entitled to get that back, now that I'm in my old age and I can't work like I used to? So they see that as a social program, as a giveaway, as a handout, as charity. That's their point of view. Well, the law tells us to dispute with them by means better than mere disputation, because what they will do, if you just take a hard line, this is halal and this is haram. I'm not telling you not to take that line in your own personal life. I'm saying when you explain it to the people, Muhammad the Prophet has explained to it, because the people have already been seasoned. You know what seasoned means? They put some salt, some pepper, and some other seasonings to give them a certain flavor. So when you come to them now and they've already been seasoned, they're not in any position to accept your message. So you have to use some psychology. You have to use some psychology, because they're already prepared to cast you in the light of being a hater. That's hateful language. That's hate speech. Huh? You're homophobic. You're transphobic. So they put that in, and we've seen the society in 100 years or less, less than 100 years, change. Now, and they've made certain words anathema. Oh, this is patriarchy. This is a patriarchal society. Huh? And we see the change because of their war aspirations. They began to have to employ women in jobs that were traditionally for men, that men held or occupied because of the nature of the work. And I'm not saying some of those jobs should not have been opened up to women, but I'm talking about the heavy labor jobs. They started giving out posters with propaganda, Rosie the Riveter. Why? They had sent the men off to war through selective service, the draft. So they brought the women in to try to step in to fill that gap in the workforce. And then when the famous Title IX, when they started coming into the early 70s with Title IX to give more equality to women in sports, they started opening up. Now they had a popular song a few years ago called Blurred Lines. Blurred Lines. So they're blurring lines of what it is to be male or female. It's all the same. Now they want to teach you that it's just a social construct. There's really no difference, even though Allah tells us, and I'm talking to Muslims. Why? Because on teaching on this subject, Muslims have been giving me pushback. Allah says, surely the male is not like the female. But he doesn't just leave it. Allah doesn't just leave it right there. The Imam Muhammad told us, we just can't say that and leave it right there. We have to explain it. But those of us who have raised children, raised male children, raised female children, I think you understand that on a level, huh? Intrinsically. You understand that by raising them, that they're not the same, the way they relate to external stimuli in the world, how they relate to it. So they started insisting that women not only cover men's sports as sportscasters, which they can do, they started insisting that in order to do their job, they had to go into the men's locker room after the game, where men were in various states of undress and getting in and out of the showers. They insisted that women be allowed to go in there, otherwise that was discrimination against women. They insisted that women go into the prisons as correction officers and be able to have custodial custody over men. And they began to realize, well, this
This may not. So they blame the men. So when the men were walking around the locker room with their just their towel on, or men, which they really had no business doing, would walk around. You could go. You don't have to go into a sports locker room. You can go into a gymnasium. And unfortunately, you'll see men walking around the locker room nude. I've never been in the women's locker room, but I can only assume that the same thing goes in there, or various states of undress. They insisted that the women reporters be allowed to go in there. Otherwise, it was discriminating against them. Well, if the men can go in there and get a an interview with Michael Jordan, the women should be able to go in there and get that same thing. It's absurd. Not saying she shouldn't be allowed to get an interview with him, but why does she have to go in there while they're half naked? Well, the men going in there half naked, yeah. What would at one point they would say? They said, "Hey, the men can't go into the women. You go into the women's locker room, you're gonna get in trouble. You're gonna get thrown out that club." I've never been on a professional sports team, but I've been a member of various workout clubs. Jack LaLanne, Bally's, whatever, New York Sports Club. They clearly delineate men's locker room, women's locker room. But now, if I come, they might have a problem. If someone were walking in and say, hey, would you? I'm a woman. They would be so afraid that they would be facing a lawsuit, they might have to allow him to go in there. It would reach a corporate level. If the low-level person, the person lowest on the totem pole, the person working at the front desk in one of these sports clubs were to say to the man, "Oh, you can't go in there." Whoa, what you mean I can't? Who are you to tell me I can't go in there? You see what they've done to force people to question basic norms? They're saying they have unisex bathrooms. I've been in a bathroom in restaurants and come out the stall and see women in there and think, wow, did I walk into the ladies' room by mistake? No, it's a unisex bathroom. It's a unisex bathroom. So, I mean, When you should be able to control, I am controlling myself, but that doesn't mean everybody can control themselves. And what about children? Children going in there. So a grown man can go into the bathroom with little girls or young girls because he's saying it within his mind, and it has become even that way in the prisons. I'm being told now, I haven't worked in the prisons in a while, but I'm being told now that if a prisoner identifies with certain pronouns, you must call that person by those pronouns, including the staff and the other inmates. We've reached a very critical point here in our development, where law tells us male and female, and they're telling us there's more than two genders. I only know it's like Heinz 57. It's 57 varieties of gender. This is where we are. And anyone who takes a stand and says, that's not my teaching, that's not my understanding, you are labeled as a bigot or a hater. Huh? That's hate speech. And let me just disavow, in case there's any problem, this is Yusuf Ramadan talking. This is not CWSC or American Muslim 360. So you can send your cards and letters to me. I'm telling you that after the khutbah, and I had one of my assistants do it a couple of weeks ago, he got pushed back. And then I spoke on it again. I spoke on it because we have to speak on it, because now it's reaching critical mass. And I got pushback from Muslim sisters. And no one, and Imam W.D. Muhammad was very, very compassionate. He said he has people that identified it as that were his friends of his. I had family members. I didn't hate him. Mourn on my birthday, a year ahead of me. But we didn't agree. So if he has the right under American law to live his life the way he wants, I don't. I have to conform to his way of thinking. You listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some important announcements for you. So please, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on American Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So let us continue. If anyone would like to ask a question or make a comment, please press 1 on your phone. We'll bring you into the queue. If not, and don't be scared. I can handle this myself. If you would rather not engage in this topic, that's understandable. I could definitely finish the rest of the show, but we would love to hear from you, and that is 636-980. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. This is Kareem Hamid.
Yes, sir.
Calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. You know, these types of conversations have to be had. We cannot fear the criticism of the criticizers. Let that not be an issue for us. Imam Muhammad shared with us, it was quite a few years ago on the concept of the Tower of Babel, the Tower of Babel. Those that the opinion makers and those that was over the society, they noticed that the common person was erecting higher levels of consciousness among them. Higher levels of consciousness, elevating their existence. And those that the oppressors of human beings saw that. And the scripture says that they colluded among themselves and said, let's go down and confound their language. And that is what we are experiencing now. They are changing a definition of basic accepted standards and norms. The confounding of their language, like to say he. Everyone knows that that is a male application. To say she, everyone knows that that is female. So they're in the process of confounding our language so that we do not, the human beings cannot continue elevating their level of consciousness their level of existence, their level of being. So this is an old strategy. It's not new. It is old. And we will not succumb to someone else's defining the known standards that Allah has placed within the life of the human being. Praise be to Allah. We hold to those known, the ma'ruf, the known standards, and we continue unaffected by their criticism. We continue to build based upon the known standards and not someone else's definition of those standards as we raise the level of consciousness, the level of existence, and the value of the common person. I heard someone come on and say, well, the Muslims ain't speaking out. I ain't hearing nothing from them. They ain't. How come that? Wait a minute. How come we always attack each other? You know,
right.
When an issue come up, we should stop doing that. What do you mean? You know, they aren't saying anything. We don't have the big mega mic like MSNBC and all of those platforms, but we can't express ourselves through social media and don't fear the criticism of the criticizers as we build human life. I'll stop right there, my brother, and may Allah continue to bless you and us, and may we not fear to speak out on these type of issues. So thank you, Imam Yusuf, and we will not be on the Tower of Babel. We will be on the construction of God's word. Thank you, Imam Yusuf.
Well, thank you as always, Brother Bam, for not fearing to speak out and say a word directed to the right. Alhamdulillah. So, if anyone else would like to weigh in and give their opinion or ask a question, please do so now while we still have time. Don't wait until the last minute. Otherwise, we will continue. So you know, we know that the sexuality, you know, it took a turn. They when they had the so-called sexual revolution. I don't know. You know what revolution means, right? Revolution means a complete change. What were they changing from? Well, they put it under the auspices of that they were changing from a quote unquote puritan from the word Puritan, the Puritan, a puritanical society, to where they could be more open about sex. They would be open about sex. And sex, you know, there was a time when you know, sex outside of marriage was considered to be promiscuity. Now, promiscuity came to mean that you were free, open and free. Huh? And I remember the man talked about this a long time ago when he first came. He said, the sister was walking down the street saying, free love, free love, free love, until she was attacked. And the man said, you can't say free love to a Negro like that. And he used another N-word. You can't just say free love. No. They had that. Do it, you know, if it feels good, do it. All these expressions that they gave us. You know, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. And even one of my favorite groups, the Isley Brothers, they came out with, you know, just to be trending with the times. Do what you want. I can't tell you who to sock it to. This is nonsense. Huh? And they promoted them. They promoted them with that. You know, of course, they had that rhythm and blues and that soul, a soulful way of expressing it. But the sentiment was wrong. The sentiment was off. As the brother who called in last week and so eloquently spoke about Les McCann, you know, compared to what? And other great songs that we had, you know, the Curtis Mayfield, We People Who Are Darker Than Blue. We can't say what others, we can't let what others say come true. We're all good for nothing, shiftless jigger. Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? This is the music that we had. They extirpated that music. The Four Tops, one of the members of the Four Tops, Abdul Fakir. In our ignorance, we used to call, because we didn't know anything about al-Islam, we didn't know how to pronounce Arabic, we called him Abdul Faker. We thought that was funny. He's a faker, Abdul Faker. His name was Abdul Fakir. His family was one of the original members of the Nation of Islam in Detroit. They're from Detroit. Don't get that. That's where the Four Tops are from. Diana Ross, Berry Gordy, Motown, Detroit, the Motor City. And they had songs like, Are You Man Enough? Big and Bad Enough? Are You Gonna Let Them Shoot You Down? When the Eagle Flies and Your Brother Cries, Are You Gonna Be Around? We don't have that type of inspirational songs too much anymore. And then every time you make a statement like that, some nut will jump up and point to one song that nobody ever heard, or that's one among 1,001, to show. That's not true. I'm not saying there's no inspirational music still left, but it's not popular. What they used to call top 40 radio. They ain't not playing it in rotation. We don't even have that anymore. We don't even have quote-unquote black stations anymore. They don't exist no more. All you got is hip-hop. That's, they give that to you as black music, hip-hop. Or what they call neo-soul. R&B has been almost extinct. Almost extinct. They tell us that that's black culture. This is your culture, hip-hop. Rap music. That's it. And they promote all types of freaky and promiscuous and crazy sex. And then they went from our sisters, you know, demanding that they be respected, to them popping their finger and dancing to it. And they're not to be blamed anymore, because we are facing the most sophisticated psychological onslaught in the history of man, as the man taught us. Much more powerful than during the time of Prophet Muhammad or any other time, due to technology. The technology is there. At one time when the man was talking about the television, they come into your home and they had your children sending them money. See, go in your mother's pocketbook, because you had to get physical cash. That's all they had. They didn't have financial apps like Venmo and Cash App and Zip. Now you can send it to the children online, and they can get them to download apps and send money, get your mother and father's credit card and send it to them, right in your own home. You don't have to turn on the television. If they got a phone, all types of things going on. And now we're seeing our children, you know, being influenced by hypersexuality. The children can come on there and engage in or look at not just pornography, but they can themselves see other people and show themselves. This is not hypothetical. I'm telling you what I know about firsthand. To come on Instagram and these other apps and show it off their bodies, and once it's on the internet, it's there forever. You can try to scrub it. But if somebody has downloaded and captured it, they can use that. They'll be able to use that against you forever. This is the world that we live in, brothers and sisters. As Imam Kareem said, We cannot afford to be too afraid to speak out against these things. I know it seems like a tide, like the tide is overwhelming, and you're afraid that you're going to be labeled a hater, someone that's engaging in hate speech. I was just watching television, and while I was watching and talking about this topic, they came on with a so-called drag queen showing a commercial with them and looked like straight devils, demons. They say the men are dressed up like women. To me, they were dressed up like demons and reading to children. Now, you know, they arguing about it in Florida and other states, should they be allowed to come in the classroom. They don't have to come in the classroom. They were showing it right on television as a celebration of Pride Month. Now, I've been telling you for years that they were doing that. Now that word is caught on, grooming children. It's not just children that are groomed. See, Shaitan, the man says Shaitan is older than us and wiser. You can groom human beings, not just men or women or children. They're more vulnerable. But even men and women can be groomed. That means a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. And there's professional sexual predators. So you think sexual predator just means they jump out the tree, or they call them tree jumpers, jump out the tree and attack you and rape. No! They start laying the groundwork. They lay the groundwork to take you from one step to the next. They may start with humor. So if you laugh with it, God might pat you on the behind. Don't stop laughing. Keep laughing. See, this is grooming. Or those things that will protect us is following the Quran. So that's why they say Jamie Foxx, and we prayers out for Jamie Foxx, but who's facing some critical medical issues, but he had a song called Blame It on Alcohol. That's all right. We're going to do this anyway, but you can always blame it on the rock, blame it on the Henny. And the old saying that they had along those lines, they said, candy is dandy, talking about getting to a woman sexually. Candy is dandy. So they used to give flowers and candy. Remember that? They don't even do that no more, maybe on Valentine's Day. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. Oh, Imam Ramadan, you being a little too explicit. I'm giving you the reality. Now, if you can't face that reality, I don't know what to tell you. So that you know what to look for when they come to try to exploit you or your children or your grandchildren. See, the word for intoxicants or wine is khamr. From the Quran, khamr. Yes, it means to lower the inhibitions. We're coming to the end of the show. And you listen to New Day for Islam in America. American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And my name is Yusuf Ramadan. I hope that we've been able to illuminate for you some of these subjects. He's saying Illuminati. It means to light, but not to illuminate in a bad way, in a false way, in a good way, in a positive way, in a righteous way. Don't let people talk you out of your righteousness, brothers and sisters. Oh, relax. Lighten up. Lighten up. No, don't lighten up. Tighten it. Don't lighten up, tighten up. Yeah, that's what we used to say. Don't lighten up, tighten up. So we pray Allah that you have a blessed Juma. And we're preparing for Eid al-Adha, known as Eid al-Akbar, the greater Eid, the bigger Eid. Be careful out there in terms of your health. You know, guard your health, guard your modesty, and Until next time, assalamu alaikum.